Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Are experiencing numbness in their body right now. I just speak complete healing, Lord. I just speak to the root of that cause to be broken off right now in Jesus' name. Someone who's dealing with headaches more than normal, Lord, we just speak over that person or over those people right now. We just speak complete healing to just heal their body. To every gland, organ, and system of the body. Speak your healing right now. Your complete healing. Lord, we want all of you, Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All of you, Lord. We just speak all of you. All of you in this place right now, Lord God. Shed out our kid of our just be in a place of just receiving. It's a place of receiving. Say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to your time, to your plan, Lord God. We just break our plans, Lord God. And we just say yes to you, Lord. We want you to move, Lord. Your heart, Lord, is the most important thing, Lord God. The rhythm of your heart is the most important thing. So we say yes to you right now in this place. We don't want to waste our time with anything else that is not of you. That is a distraction. That's just noise. Just let it fall off. Let it shake off right now in the name of Jesus. Every thought in our head that's not of you, Lord, all of that noise, just filter it out right now in the name of Jesus. We just want to press in. You are holy, Lord God. Yahweh, you are holy. Yes.
You command.
the head of the enemy. Yeah, you crush the head of the enemy with your peace. Yeah, you crush the head of the enemy. Yeah, you crush the head of the enemy. Yeah, you crush the head of the enemy with your peace. Let's sing it out. I've got peace.
And I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river.
Is a strong authority in his peace. A lot of times we think authority is loud, it's shouting, but there is a strong authority in that peace. So we just speak to every storm in our life, every single one of us, with the authority that you have given us. And we speak peace. Be still right now. Peace, be still. Every dark thing, leave in the name of Jesus. Every shadow, leave. All confusion, leave in the name of Jesus. We speak your peace. All lies from the enemy have no power in your light. And we tell them to leave, and we say peace. Speak over every single mind in this place, and we speak peace. Peace, be still. Shalom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's that peace that crushes the head of the enemy. Thank you, Lord.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Kathy. If some of you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Matt's wife. I was supposed to lead worship like 2 months in a row, and then we had snowstorms. So I haven't been here in a while, and I'm just so grateful to finally have come. And thank you for all of you who came along with me as we just went for it in worship, because that's what we need. We need to just not respond to what's happening in the natural all around us. The Lord is moving, and I think that the enemy doesn't want us to know that, so he distracts us by loud, hard, overwhelming things that start that emotion in us, that anxiety. And the Lord is doing stuff, and things are starting to happen, not only in our personal lives when we look, but in this church. I feel like something, there's some things that are just accelerating, and a lot of times we get into this place of waiting, and we're like, we get okay with it. And we're like, we adapt, you know? A lot of us just adapt, but then all of a sudden when something happens, we're like, what? And Tiffany's gonna share that after I share some things for our church that kind of, I feel like, been happening for us. So, with announcements, we are doing the Mark and Hebrews in March challenge. So, that is reading through the Bible of Mark and Hebrews in our own timing. And as a church, we want to kind of just read it together, but in our own timing for this month. So, Mark and Hebrews, if you need to catch up, stick an audio on in your car, just get it in you. We just want to get the Spirit and the Word of God in us, because the Word of the God, the Word of God is, it's so important to just be in there and hearing His words and what He's done and who He really is. So next month is 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Philemon? Bob, what do you think?
Okay. One of those.
Philemon, something like that.
Yeah.
Phil. Somewhere in life.
Yeah.
Philemon. Philemon. Anyways, so if you guys want to follow along on Instagram, Facebook, we're really trying to be seen and have a place for all of us to connect during the week and just to see what's happening. It's a really easy way to see if there's an event happening, if there's going to be like maybe like a soaking night of worship for healing in the future, just cool stuff that we want to possibly do for everyone to just walk into this space, because we want this church to be the well, you know, and when people walk into this place, they can just drink and just take in our Father's goodness. So we are now on to online Bible study, which is a really cool thing that's happening Thursdays at 8. I think in the bulletin, sorry, right after worship, I'm a little bit like, there's a Zoom ID. So if you guys want to check it out, it's on there. It's a really good way to just be with other Christians during the week, because, you know, right when we leave this place, we all get hit. And it's like, whoo, and we're kind of like, you know, a little shell-shocked sometimes. So that's why it's so important to just reconnect with each other, because it's way more important than we realize. Okay. Also, over here, I'm going to walk over here. This is the Gap Ministry that Tiffany had started, and it's amazing, and all the other women in here that have come together to really get this going. I mean, look at all this that we have done in the community. That's a good way for the community to recognize, hey, who are these people over there blessing us with nothing in return? It's a good way to let the community know we're here and we love them and care for them. Oh, this is a good one. This is really good, I'm telling you. Okay, beginning in April, we'll be offering a 6-session Freed Up financial class. That's exciting, because as Christians, if we can get freed up financially, then we can just bless people and do all sorts of crazy things, like bless people without letting them know who we are and like have fun with it. And, you know, when we can learn how to get out of hard patterns, me speaking to myself as well, and just kind of get some basic things figured out, it's just helpful. So create a spending plan. This is good. Spending plans are good. And achieve your financial goals with practices anchored in the wisdom of God's word. Tiffany has more details on that. I'll tell you what, there's something with finances when we do cool things that the Lord tells us to. We had this thing happen to us in the beginning of the church where another church gave us $2,000 to sow into it because the Lord told them to. And then after that happened, a week or two later, another $2,000 came. And then a week or two later, I was working in my office during the week, and someone who does not go to this church, never heard of this church, but knew that, you know, we had a church here, said, I felt like the Lord wanted me to give you this. And she gave me an envelope, she said, for the church. And I opened it up, and it was $2,000 in cash. So that's the Lord showing us that He's in this. That's Him showing us, hey, keep on going, because this is where I want you to be. So it's just a fun thing how the Lord can work when we just say, all right, I'm going to, you know, sow a little here. And if it's what you say, you know, Lord, what you show me. So that being said, we're going to go on to the next thing, which is we are having a movie screening called Send Proof, April 22nd at 7 p.m. And this is quite an interesting movie. This is about the movie. When his pastor leaves the faith, Elijah Stevens embarks on a journey to find proof for miracles. Along the way, he meets atheists, skeptics, medical researchers, and academics, and those claiming to have experienced miraculous healing. Just a reminder, this document is a real discussion about miracles and includes some content not suitable for children. So I like it because they really dive deep into stuff that probably wasn't of God, but then at the end... you have these people talking about miracles that have been documented, and it's some powerful, powerful testimonies. I will not share any of them, but it's a big deal. It's like when we hear the testimony of God, it repeats that for our own lives. Just hearing, talking about miracles, talking about how God's moving, it then opens our mind and our eyes to see it in our own life. I have had things where I've talked to people about dreams, and then all of a sudden they started having dreams. They're like, I've never dreamt dreams from God before. It's just talking about it in everyday life and just sharing with people cool things. Like my son, my youngest son has a BSC, which is a behavioral specialist, and she came to our house the other day, and I didn't know if she was a Christian or not, and I had slammed my car door, my hand in the car door, like where the door shut, and I had to open the door to get it out. It was excruciating pain. And I wrapped it up, and my husband's like, hey, we need to take you to the doctor. I'm like, you know what? Let's just leave it for one night. Just pray over it. And this happened a week or two ago. He prayed over it, and the next morning it wasn't broken, and it was not bruised. So I'm not saying it was a miracle or not, but to me, that's really cool. So I just shared that with her, and then she just started talking about miracles and all this stuff. And I think a lot of times we're not chasing miracles, but miracles point us to God. So it's not like chasing miracles, it's talking about them, because that's an open door to point to God. And that should be part of our life, because that's who God is. And it needs to be a natural thing. So that screening is happening April 22nd at 7 p.m. And then the offerings in the back of the basket, I'm going to pray over it, and then I'm going to have Tiffany share about the sign stuff, and then you can come after her. All right, so we're just going to pray over this offering, and then you guys can put it in the basket whenever you'd like. So, Lord, we just come to you, Lord God, and we just want to make space for you, Lord, in our lives, in this place, Lord. And we just pray over every single person and their finances, Lord, and the struggles they've been going through, Lord. I just speak blessings over every single person's finances, Lord. I speak creative solutions for those who are in the middle of something that they can't see a way out financially. There are creative solutions that the Lord has that we haven't even thought of. So, Lord, we want to tap into that. We want to tap into your voice and ask you about things like this and say, you know what, Lord, we're going to leave space for you to kind of help us solve this. So Lord, we speak over that. We speak over everyone's finances. We also speak over what is given in this church, Lord, that it would be such an impact in this community, Lord, and that we would be led by you to take risks and step out in the community with what you've given us to actually make a supernatural, lasting impact to those who are broken and those that are hurting. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Tiff, I'm going to have you come up really quick. And then, Donna, you can come up, because Donna's got a cool story she wants to share with us. And then after that, Bob's going to preach.
Here we go.
Okay. Hey, everybody. So, just some background. I think most people here know, but there are a few who probably don't. But we moved into this building in the middle of the pandemic. And everything was shut down. We had been looking for a place, but nothing was really suitable. We looked at a lot of facilities that had, you know, commercial spaces tend to have a lot of offices, but not one big central room. And in the middle of our search, this popped up. In the middle of the pandemic, when everyone was sort of struggling a little bit financially, and this just came out of the blue, and through a set of supernatural circumstances, I mean, supernatural circumstances from how we found the place to the timing to how it worked out financially. I mean, just a ton of obstacles that that should have been obstacles that weren't there. Everything just fell into place. And the Lord threw open all those doors, and we just really knew that moving, you know, and being in this facility was of him. It was clear. During that time, you know, because of everything going on, we didn't really announce ourselves largely to the community, but we found ways to connect. From our GAP ministry with, you know, that this month is benefiting Keystone Opportunity Center. We had a family a couple blocks away who had a fire that we were able to bless financially that we wouldn't have known about if we weren't here. There was a young couple with a baby right on this street, just a couple blocks down, that needed a washer and dryer that we found out about, and we just happened to have a washer and dryer that we were able to bless them with. I mean, so many things and connection points that we've made in the time that we've been here. But it's time to let everybody know that we're here now. We're in a different phase of things going on in the world, and so we started to look at what we need to do to announce ourselves, to get a sign up, you know, to do all those things. And it seemed a little daunting. The sign permit for Souderton Borough is almost 50 pages long. I mean, it's huge. The code enforcement here is very strict, which is great for a community. I mean, it keeps everything, you know, looking good and kind of uniform and whatever. But it seemed like, you know, wow, this is a big obstacle. So I went down and talked to the code enforcement officer and found out that this parcel that we're on here is the same parcel that Generations, the senior center next door, is on. And because of that, there's only a certain amount of sign space that you can have per parcel. And they have a big sign up on Second Street. So we were warned that it might be really difficult to get a sign. You know, so we were kind of navigating how to do that. Can we paint something on the building? Would that still count as a sign? You know, can we put out the little, you know, A-frame board that we put out, those kind of things. But finally we decided, hey, we just need to go for it. And, so through some connections that, you know, people in this body have, we were guided to someone who was able to help us fill out the permit, the way that we were supposed to, and include all the supporting documentation. And, I brought it down to the borough last week, for approval, and it's a pretty good sized sign that we want to put on the front of the overhang here. And, the same week I got a call saying that our permit was ready to pick up, and that's what that is in the window right there. So we got approval for the sign. And while I was down there, actually, the code enforcement officer talked to the secretary, who was at the desk there, and said, give them the information about getting on. There's an electronic billboard right at Souderton Park. They wanted us to create a sign for Souderton Park on this electronic billboard that we never would have known about. So this code enforcement officer shared that with us, so we were able to work on that. The same week, if any of you are here in the neighborhood, you know where the post office is, at the Souderton Telford post office, Stover Park, which is directly across the street, there's a ball field there. And we talked to the borough about a billboard at the ball field. It's an 8-foot long, you know, it's attached to the fence. And we talked to them. They invited us to, you know, to participate and have the billboard made. The art was completed. The sign company made the sign. Again, within this last week, the sign is now, this big billboard, 8-foot by 4-foot billboard, is now up in Souderton with, you know, announcing. Yes. So, you know, it's exciting, like in the past, you know, year and a little more that we've been here, all of what we were able to do to connect with the community. But now we're just excited to see how the Lord wants us to impact in a bigger way once people, like, know that we're here. So we're excited about it. We just wanted to give you the update, and you should see the sign within the next couple of weeks. So, yay.
I'm Donna. I'm Dave's wife. So there's people here who don't know. So before I start, I wasn't going to say this part, I want to let you know that I've struggled with autoimmune issues for many years. So with that being said, This testimony goes along with what Matt shared with Psalm 91 from last week, that, you know, he who dwells in the secret place. I'm sure everybody's very familiar. But I got COVID the day after, couple days after Christmas this year. And, of course, you know, I had all the things spoken over me that I didn't want to have. But we prayed and we trusted. I had a situation, a story that I want to tell you, that I was burning up with fever for me. It was 102. I haven't been able to run a fever for years now. Even with pneumonia, I might get up to like 99. So I was like 102. I was freezing to death. I thought, and I wrapped up in an electric blanket and was trying to rest. And that fast, I just kind of went to where I saw myself walking out to our chickens. And it was cold, and I was freezing. And when I got to the chicken coop and opened it up, there were a lot of eggs there. I moved the hen out of the way, and I gathered up the eggs, and they were so warm, and I put them in my pocket, my jacket pocket, and I thought, oh, these are so nice and warm. And then I saw one in the corner, and it had been knocked out of the nest. So I went to take hold of that one, and it was ice cold. It had frozen. And then that fast, I was back in kind of in my bed, you know, when you get fever, things are a little crazy. And I was listening in my to the fact that I was starting to feel a little bit warmer. And I saw this big shadow come down on top of me. When I saw that, I realized it had shaped itself like a wing and had completely engulfed me as I laid on the bed. And I heard the Lord speak to me. And he said, just rest, I have you under my wing. And I realized I was really getting nice and warm and started to fall asleep and was comfortable. Then I quick texted Tiffany and Janet, because both of them had COVID at the same time. We were all going through it together. And I told her what had happened. And Tiffany texted back to me. And I just want to kind of put this here. She texted back, "Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wing until this disaster has passed." And from that point forward, I didn't have any more fever. I didn't have any more chills. I did still have to go through some serious things with COVID. But I was not afraid at all, ever. I have to say that I was never afraid. And in the natural, I had reason to be afraid, but I was not. I was at peace. And like, but you know, Kathy said that peace has so much power to speak from a place of peace. So later when I was up the next day, I was reminded that I had been given a word here. And the word is this: chaos is on the horizon, but do not be afraid. As we abide in him, he will make a path of peace. While the world is fearful for provision, his people will know abundance. We will have a new understanding of a grateful heart, of letting incense arise day and night, of praise and of joy. So, in closing, as my husband always says, as we see things coming to pass, and I think everybody is very aware of the things that are happening all around us. And I know there's a lot of people who are really struggling with fear. But what the Lord says that is that he won't necessarily take us out of the storm. We might have to go through that storm, but he will give us peace in the storm and the ability to rest and trust in him for everything that we need. So that's what we need to really keep in focus. As we abide in him and he abides in us, we will have that peace and we will have that trust, and he will provide everything that he needs. I had been on oxygen for straight 24 hours a day for over two weeks. And I look at that and I think, wow, yeah, I didn't have to go to the hospital. I didn't have to do, he brought me through all of that. And as we trust in him and keep our eyes fixed on him, he will bring us through and provide for our every need. So, come on.
Can I don't know. That's the screaming is, right, Tiff? Right? You post something the other day with wherever you were. Someone's screaming. Hey, is this thing on? So I guess my message has already been preached, so we're good. Oh, boy. You know, not everybody has, not every church has a Tiffany that would actually go through a 50-page document for a sign. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. It's been almost a year. Fighting for one sign, now we got three. Come on, right? Come on, in a week. We fought for a year, and in a week, we get three of them. Come on, come on. That's good stuff. Boy, oh boy. Oh, man. So, last few weeks have been kind of interesting. So, today I want to talk a little bit about receiving from God. And, you know, I've just kind of been feeling in my own personal life and you know, just in general that, you know, we should be seeing the kingdom of heaven manifested in this world more than what we do. And you know, in my own personal life, I've never thought about that kind of stuff for a long time. And, you know, just a question that's just popped up in my head off and on for years. And, you know, I see that, you know, there's so many churches and there's just as many doctors and hospitals. And if we're seeing that kingdom, I would think that there would be less doctors and hospitals. And I don't want to put anybody out of work, but, you know, it just, you know, encourages me that we can see more. And, you know, I know that, you know, myself, I know as the church, I know that we believe in the Word of God. I know that we believe in the promises, and the promises are true, and the promises that we believe are for us right now. You know, and then, you know, it's just, why don't we see more? And, you know, I just kind of started to study this thing out and pray about it and over the past few weeks. And, you know, I just want to share some of the things that I'm learning, because, you know, a lot of times when I preach, it's from a place of me learning and me growing, and I'm just sharing you where I'm at and what I'm seeing. So if you want to turn to Mark 11, 22-24, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." It says, believe that you receive. And you know, sometimes it's just those simple little words just resonate, and that resonated with me this past few weeks. And, you know, I know that we believe, but have we received? And, you know, like the kind of person that I am, I like to have directions. I like to have to know how something works. And a lot of times when I preach, I'll say, you know, how do we do this or how do we do that? And that just kind of has stemmed throughout my entire life. When I was 8 years old, my grandfather would teach me how to work on cars and change oil and change tires and show me how stuff worked. And then as a teenager, I would take things apart and figure out what does what and how things work. And then if they're broken, I try to fix them. And then I went to auto school for auto mechanics, and then I became an industrial mechanic for about better part of 25 years. But it's always knowing how something works. You know, how does the kingdom of heaven work? You know, I can believe and receive. Well, how do I do that? And I just kind of been pressing in a little bit on those types of things these past few weeks. And, you know, we read the Bible and we believe all these wonderful things and you know, all the things that we know, like who we are in Christ and what all the things that God has done for us. But how do we see those things manifest more? Because when I read the Bible, it's always in abundance. You know, where's the more? I want to see the more. And, you know, in Mark 11:24, it says that you have to believe that you received. It's kind of like that old saying, it's easier said than done. You know, You read it, you understand it, you get it, but how do you do it? You know, how do we live in that reality? And there's a few things that I found so far that weren't quite what I was thinking, where my mind was at. What I'm finding is that receiving from God is more of a condition of your heart than it is anything else. And the first thing is that we have to trust him. Just like Donna just, you know, gave us a nice little teaching on trusting God through those tough times, you know. And we have to trust that his word is true and his word is for right now. And you know, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't wait till they were hungry to feed them. He already created all of that stuff, all of their provision before they even were in need of it. That's why I see things, I think sometimes the way I see them is when he has already supplied it, we can just show up and enjoy it, really. And you know, we need to start to believe that we already have what we need. You know, and what I heard was, you know, our miracles don't become manifested in the natural when they're released, but they come when we receive them. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus was just talking about praying, being hypocrites and stuff like that. And in 6:8, he says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." What we need has already been released. You know, we can sit around and wait on God to move, but it is depending on us responding and receiving to what he's already prepared for us that releases the kingdom here on the earth. And if we believe this, then we technically should see more breakthroughs, more healings, and just anything that we're in need of, we should be seeing more of it. And where we have to start trusting God wasn't really the area that I was actually even thinking about. But through some of the teachings that I listened to and some of the reading and stuff, I want to turn to Romans 3:27. It says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith." So there's laws in believing and receiving from God, just like the law of gravity. You know, I want to talk a little bit about science. You know, I don't like to give it too much credit. All science is us as human beings figuring out how God created something. So, but we have the law of gravity, the earth and the moon, how they interact with one another and keeps us from falling off the earth and floating around. And there's also laws for electricity. There's Ohm's law, Watt's law, and a bunch of other names that I can't pronounce. There's a whole bunch of them, all these different things. And if you go against those laws, you get electrocuted. And that's fun, as I've been there too many times that I like to admit too. But there's also these laws to receive from God. And it's not that I want to overcomplicate anything, but sometimes I think that maybe we put the cart before the horse. That we're believing God and these big miracles, these big breakthroughs, but we can't trust him for the little things. And in that, we have our own part to play in the kingdom being released. And it's, you know, God's not up in heaven reading a book, and when a prayer request comes across his desk, he stamps it approved or denied. You know, he's already given us everything that we need. And Luke 16, 10 and 11, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, finances, who will commit to you the trust, your trust, the true riches?" The true riches are all God's promises and all of his blessings. It's not just finances, it's everything. And, you know, believing in finances is the least. If we're not there, how can we trust him for something bigger? And, you know, when I read this, there's a twofold thing that happens in the scripture. And, you know, this is where I think that our hearts need to change a little bit. And we can trust God in the least of these things, the finances. We will become faithful in the least of these things. And if we can trust or have faith in God in your finances, it will prepare your heart, and you will be trusted with the little things. And when we can trust God with the least, like finances, it will condition our hearts to trust him with bigger things. So it's, you know, it's him trusting us with little things and us trusting him with little things that creates this relationship dynamic that we feed off of one another almost. You know, I'll give you a little bit of this, and I trust you with it. I'm going to give you more. Some of us are praying for the nations, you know, to go to the nations and to preach in the nations, but we're not trusting him in finances. You know, how can we trust him that he's going to supply this without starting here? And, you know, question that comes up, are miracles bigger than finances? Sure they are. We're trusting God for miracles, but not trusting God for finances. There's a little bit of a shift that needs to take place. And, you know, if we can't be trusted and trust God in those small things, how can we be trusted and trust him? There's that second part of that. You know, if we are trusted, and if we're not. So, and I don't even want to preach on finances. That's not even where I'm going with any of it. It's just, you know, you got to start somewhere. We got to start with the least thing in the kingdom of heaven in order to see the big things in the kingdom of heaven. I believe that trusting in God will condition our hearts to be trusted with the things of God. And, you know, Mark 24 says that, you know, believe that you've received. It's like, believing and receiving is like electricity. You know, we don't come into church every morning and call the PPL or MedEd or whoever the electric company is and say, hey, can you turn on my lights? The power's already there. All we have to do, if we want to turn the lights on, is plug the light in or connect it to a fuse box and flip the switch. It's believing in the power of God, plugging in, and flipping the switch is receiving it. We all right?
That was good.
Thank you. Let's see. Lost my place on my tablet here. So trusting or having faith in God that his word is true, alive, and active. Plugging into it and turning it on. So, if you guys are writing notes or taking notes, I would say that point number one is to trust God in the little things like your finances to prepare your heart for the bigger things. And if you want to turn to Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try or test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Now, that just kind of tells me that he wants to bless us so much that we won't even be able to receive all of it. We can't even handle it. So next I want to talk about hope. And the Bible talks about imagination, and it's kind of tied to hope. And a lot of times in the Bible, when it talks about imagination, it's actually in like a negative context. But there's a an aspect of imagination that refers to hope, where imagination is, or positive imagination is hope. So imagination is seeing something that is not present. You know, seeing in the Bible says seeing things that that are not as though they are. And in Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Your substance is tangible, but it has to have hope or this positive imagination to become tangible. If we don't have a positive imagination or hope, faith doesn't have anything to give substance to. Does that make sense? So when we're believing for some, you know, God for something, we have to see ourselves in that finished work. Donna was just saying that she's laying on the bed and she saw herself going out. We need to see, have that imagination, that positive imagination. We have to see ourselves in that finished work. And if we are in need of a healing, we have to see ourselves healed or imagine ourselves healed. And imagination, for me, is directly correlated with meditation, where meditating on the Word of God, meditate on the Word night and day, and we'll start to see who we are, and we'll start to see that we are healed, and that provision is already provided, and we imagine ourselves to be that way, you know. And, you know, always with the disclaimer that it always has to be, you know, the will of God. We can't be praying for things that are ungodly and expect things to happen. You know, we buy into so much junk in the world, and we spend a lot of money doing it. How much money we spend on cell phone bills and internet and cable, and I'm not giving anybody a hard time about any of that stuff, but we spend a lot of money to have ungodliness pumped into our homes and into our minds. And all this stuff is really designed is to take us and give us a more of a negative imagination of ourselves and of the world and of God and of everything else over that positive imagination or the hope. And we just need to quiet that stuff down. I think I'm good at it. Kind of gets me in trouble a little bit because, you know, I'll be somewhere and mainly at home, and my wife, well, would you see this? I was like, no, I didn't see it. I don't watch the news, because the answer is always the same, Jesus, you know. But, you know, don't you pay attention? Not really. I don't. I'm sorry. Why don't you tell me? Tell me what happened. And there's a nice little conversation that happens, you know. So maybe it works out for the better. Who knows? But either way, you know, it's like I watch, when I do watch, like, you know, we're taught to be sick. You know, what happens when flu season comes? Oh, you better get your shot. Flu season's coming. So what? You know, so what? Oh, well, it's flu season. You know, Adam and Eve lived, what, 900 plus years? They didn't know how to be sick. You know how to die. I didn't have news people saying, hey, you better go get your vaccines. And, you know, this season's coming up and this and that's happening. You better protect yourselves. You know, we just get that stuff so ingrained. And it's been forever. Probably ever since media, radio, and TVs probably were invented. Like, everybody's hearing these types of things. And we're being taught to be sick. We're being taught to believe in lies, and we're being taught to believe in things that are just nonsense in the kingdom of heaven. You know, it was never God's desire to see us in any kind of despair. He's created us only really to be seen in His love and for His good pleasure. And it says in Philippians 2:13. I used the Amplified version for this. So it says, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His good pleasure. We were created for His good pleasure. And Joshua 1:8 came up too when I was doing some study, and it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So when we start to meditate and imagine the things that we're meditating on, if we have a certain scripture that we just like to stand on, that we meditate on, you know, that'll start to condition our hearts to have hope and to have faith. And then we'll start to see what our true identity is. And then we'll start to walk out that purpose and see those breakthroughs and see those miracles and see the things that we're pressing into to actually come and be manifested in our bodies and in our families and in our, you know, in just our communities, you know. And we have to renew our minds with the Word of God. You know, imagine what we would see if we spent the same amount of time in the Word of God in prayer as we do when we're watching TV, going on our phones, going on our laptops, and things like that. Imagine, you know, your phones. My phone has a thing where it tells me every week my screen time for every day. That's sad. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it, you know. And a lot of times it's just like I'm sitting in my van or something waiting for something and just pass the time. You know, you go, you look at this, you look at that. And it's just, man, like if I would spend that amount of time equal to that in the Word, you know, you can only imagine what you would see. So I guess you want point number two is just get out of the junk. Point number one, trust in God and in the little. Get out of the junk. You know, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And the opposite happens too. Unbelief comes by hearing anything contrary to the Word of God. We stay out of that and go into the Word of God and stay in a place that's going to benefit us. How about our screen time in the Bible is more than our screen time on our TVs and our phones? And the last point that I'm going to really have for today is that of Proverbs 23:7. It says, "For as he thinks," or as a man thinks, "in his heart, so is he." And Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's a tough one there. God's power is voice activated. What we think about ourselves and our hearts, so are we. Do we think we're healed? Do we think that we're set free? Do we even think that we're redeemed? Do we think that we're saved? Do we think that we're forgiven? You know, those are all wonderful things that Jesus, you know, did for us. You know, and the thoughts we have of ourselves will transfer to the words we speak about ourselves. If we think sick, we speak sick. Oh, you know, geez, you know, it's genetics. You know, my dad had it, so I'm going to have it. You're speaking sick. So you're thinking sick, and now you're speaking it. If you think anxious or you think depressed, you speak anxious and you speak depression. The only way to speak the truth is to know the truth. And we have the truth. You know, our words are so powerful, you know, that our very existence was created by words. God spoke everything, all of our, everything that we're ever going to need, He spoke into existence. And if you want to go to Ephesians 4:29, the Amplified version, it says, "Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak." And I'm going to take that a step further, that it's just not for building others up, but also building yourself up in your identity in Christ. We need to start to speak life over ourselves as well as others. And in John 13:34, Jesus was speaking. He says, "I'm giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another." And if we get the understanding that of how loved we are and what he's already done, that'll shift our hearts to be able to love others better too. You know, we know we speak the things contrary to the word of God and don't even know that we do it. You know, with the genetic thing and you know, it's just stuff that you grew up with. You always hear people say it. You know, speaking death, no matter how small the comment is, has been taught to us forever. You know, we need to get back to the truth. You know, if God says about us and believe those words and not genetics and not science or any other excuse that we're given. And I want to close here. There's so much more that I've been reading, and it would just take hours because, you know, some of the things that I'm learning now is about miracles, and miracles are wonderful, but miracles come out of a place of crisis. Think of it, if we need a healing, there's a crisis, we need to be healed. God doesn't want us living in crisis all the time. He wants us to live in blessing. So there's this, I'm not even going to get into that. That'll be for next time. I'll have you here till 3 o'clock talking about that stuff. But so I'm going to close with Ephesians 2:11. I'm just going to read 2:11 to the end of Ephesians 2. It says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles by birth, who were called uncircumcision by those who called themselves circumcision. It's a mere mark, which is made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from any relationship with him, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, with no share in the sacred messianic promise, and without knowledge of God's agreements," Amplified version, "having no hope in his promise, and living in the world without God. But now, at this very moment, in Christ Jesus, you who were once very far away from God have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace and our bond and our unity. He who made both groups, Jews and Gentiles, into one body and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall of spiritual antagonism between us, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hostility caused by the law with its commandments contained in ordinances, which he satisfied, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, therefore establishing peace, and that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, united in one body to God through the cross, thereby putting to death the hostility. And he came and preached the good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away, and peace to those Jews who were near. For it is through him that we both have a direct way of approach in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, outsiders without rights of citizenship, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, God's people, and are members of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together, and it continues to increase, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, set apart, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him, and in fellowship with one another, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And what if we took time to pray those types of things and speak those types of things about ourselves, about our families, about our friends? You know, if you want screen time, put your screen time and put the Bible on it. You know, get some YouTube Bible stuff going on. You know, I'm not saying anything, you know, I mean, screen time, I guess, could be good, but these are the things we need to be speaking about ourselves, that we're grafted into a family that is full of power, and that power not only should be seen more through his children, but I feel that he deserves to see that more in his children. That his children just want to grasp on to every word that is coming from his mouth. So, point number four, we to speak life. Amen? So if you want to stand, they'll pray. And if you don't, you can sit. It's okay, too.
We'll still pray.
Yeah, I'm still going to pray. Father, we just thank you. You know, we thank you that we can always trust you and come to your word with everything that we need, and that you already know it. And that we, you know, when you already know it and we understand that you already know it, it takes that pressure off, that we just come to you just to be loved and love you. So we just thank you. We thank you for just being a wonderful, amazing Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking the well in the valley of my weeping.